When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Black Friday, wow, shop, Wayfair now, month long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best in decor, Black Friday score,
garlands and trees.
Saving with ease,
lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets, better you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Hands up with clog, area roads, fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the, win the season.
Wayfair, 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 Wayfair.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted 1861 Masonic Lodge with owner Jill Shelley. Paranormal investigator Jill Shelley returns today to share her eerie journey from the infamous Boyd House to her newest paranormal property, the 1861 Masonic Lodge in Keithsburg, Illinois. What secrets lie within the walls of this once bustling building, which served as a hotel, possibly a brothel, and a hub for the secret of Masonic rituals? Strange EVPs, child voices, and shadowy apparitions make this location a chilling addition to Jill's haunted real estate portfolio. Are the spirits trying to communicate, or are they just making themselves known? Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted 1861 Masonic Lodge with owner Jill Shelley. Jill Shelley, so glad to have you back on the show. You were on quite a while back, and we were talking about the Boyd House. And so when I came across the 1861 Masonic Lodge, I'm like, I want to talk about this place just because it looks so creepy. So I dove into it and I find out you have both locations. So you're back on the show.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me back on, Carol. Yeah, it gets a little bit of addiction. You know, you get one and then you got to have another one. So,
and we do have a whole episode on the Boyd House, but we will go back and talk about that in a minute. A few minutes, but I want to dive into the 1861 Masonic Lodge. I came across it on Facebook, and I was just telling you before I hit record, it just looks like a very haunted location. I totally see why you were drawn to this building.
Oh yeah, like I said, I was looking for another location just because, you know, I kind of brought Boyd to where I could bring it to at this point. You know, there's always upkeep and maintenance, but I just thought I wanted to try my hand at something a little bit bigger. So I just kind of started looking around on the listings, and this magnificent building popped up, and I was like, oh, I have to have it. I know I wasn't happy that I was pretty far away from it
I was
because
going to
it's
say the Boyd House is in Minnesota, and this Masonic Lodge is in Keithsburg, Illinois.
Yeah, so I'm about 6 hours away,
That's a little
but a
drive.
little bit of a drive, but I'm like, I just can't pass this building up. Like, I was so drawn to it, just like I was with the Boyd House. I don't know if I just have a knack for picking out buildings or what, but I had to look at it. And funny story about it, when we did go to look at it, we couldn't get in. So the padlock wasn't working. And the realtor tried it several times. She could, like, I literally would see her put the code in and pull on it. Nothing would happen. We called the owners, and they're like, well, yeah, you can get in any way you want. Just, you know, don't destroy anything, you know, because we drove a long ways to take a look. And then my husband decided, well, we could use a screwdriver. We could take off this lock. We could get in. So he goes to the gas station, and she's on the phone talking to somebody. And I thought, I'm just gonna walk up to the lock. And I walked up to the lock and gave it a little tug, barely touched it. It popped right open. I'm like, well, I guess they wanted me in. So
That's interesting.
I was like, she goes, you saw me tugging on that, right? I go, I know you were. And said, I think they just want me to have the building. I don't know. So I don't know if that was anything, but you know, it's kind of fun when you get those funny coincidences, you know?
Well, it is interesting when something like that happens because it does make it feel like it's meant to be.
Right. So that was pretty good. And we did get actually a couple good EVPs on our walkthrough. I didn't get too much as far as any equipment interaction. You know, plus, you know, we were only there for a couple hours. And I don't think they really like talking to females so much. But I did get a really cool EVP that said, I'm watching you.
Ooh.
So that was kind of cool. But then I did get a little kid's voice saying body, and I thought that's weird. You know, why would a kid be at the lodge? And then, you and I talked a little bit offline that originally it was an old hotel called the Arlington Hotel, and I actually found out from one of the Masons who stopped by that that was probably a brothel as well. So.
Oh, a lot of them were back in the day.
Yeah. So just a lot of interesting history there. So I just recently found that out. Can't really find anything online, so I got to get on with the newspaper archives to do a little bit more research, see if I can find some more information. We went to the historical site. He couldn't find anything on it. I just have one picture of it, you know, of the lodge, but as the hotel from the 1800s. So that's at least we got that. We got some.
Now, whatever started your interest in the paranormal and, you know, along your path to not have just one haunted location, but two, you're obviously totally into it. This has been a long time passion for you, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Since I always had weird things happen when I was a little kid, that just kind of made me kind of drawn to the more macabre and spooky things. So I was kind of a weird kid. So just always kind of been it. But I kind of blame my family because they took me to see the blob when I was five. So, you know,
It's all
kind of
their
all
fault.
that started everything, I think. But yeah, just always just a passion for it. And then in 2010, I met some people, one through work, and then we just kind of networked it, and we started our own paranormal group, St. Croix Paranormal. And then we started traveling. You know, we started out, you know, investigating local homes, businesses. We kind of grew, learned a lot of stuff. We started traveling throughout the country to well-known haunted locations, and then that's where I got the idea of purchasing my own haunted locations because I wanted to have a place like a base where I could come all the time. And get to know the spirits and, you know, kind of build a rapport with them. You know, when you go to places, you get your what, 6, 7, 8 hours at a time to make a connection. And sometimes it takes a lot longer than that. So That's kind of where I was going with that, and then allowing other people to come in and do investigations. So, yeah, I just always had a passion for all the ghost stuff. I don't know. I just fascinates me, the whole thing.
You know, and I've talked to several people who have purchased haunted locations, and in part for the same reason that you just said, so they can kind of get familiar with the spirits that are there. And sometimes that's worked out really well. And it's interesting because then even some, and you might have encountered this with a Boyd house because you've had it for a while, but then they still encounter new spirits. That
Oh, definitely.
I always find that so interesting because we think of the haunting, so it would be this one person or this family or whatever it might be. But it's so interesting that they still encounter new things.
Well, and I think by doing a lot of these haunted locations, you know, we're kind of creating a beacon and some sort of energies, and who knows, maybe some places are getting portals open just because of the communication. And I think maybe that's why things come through. We get a lot of new spirits at Boyd. They tell us that they came through the hallway. So,
Oh, that's really interesting.
you know, so I don't know if it's just because, you know, originally when we started it really felt like it was just kind of the Eckert family and just a couple of kids. Like, but I feel like the family's grown a lot. you know, but also we've brought in haunted objects and antiques, and so there could be a lot of energy as well as that bringing in things.
True.
But you know, and maybe people drag stuff from location to location, and then the ghost is like, hey, I kind of like it here, I'm gonna hang out. You know, I mean, we don't really know for sure, but it's always a good speculation, you know, since they all seem to come, you know, like, and the lodge is new, so I haven't quite created a rapport with them yet. But definitely the Boyd house, I swear I'm the only person who buys things for dead people. I'm always at the store. I'm like, oh my God, Minnie would totally love this. And I buy her stuff and I bring it to her and stuff, or the kids will like this. So, you know.
And then the person working there is like, oh, that's so nice. She's buying some gifts for the kids.
Yes, has no
Like,
idea for
if
dead
you only
people.
knew. Now, the Masonic Lodge, so that was built in 1860-ish.
1861, yeah.
1861. And in Keithsburg, Illinois, I'm going to guess this is not a big town.
No, they have about it's bigger than Boyd, but yeah, they got about 600 people in town. Not it's been devastated by a flood twice, so there's not a lot of businesses left in town. So there's a, you know, there's a couple bars, there's a campground and a gas station, and that's pretty much the town. Yeah, so
So when you bought the place, I'm going to guess that it sat there empty for a while, and there are probably people like, did you hear about the lady who bought the Masonic Lodge and is doing paranormal investigations?
yeah, they're actually it did sit, so I'm not, I think about 5 years empty. A guy bought it from the Masons. He was going to do an event center, really didn't do anything with it, and then just ended up selling it to me. But actually, a lot of people were really excited when they heard what was going down, because I was
Good.
actually going to preserve and help save this building, because this was actually one of the second buildings built in town when the town was founded. So it's got a lot of history, and a lot of people didn't want to see it get torn down, and they were glad. Some of them are like not sure about the ghost thing, but most of them are very welcoming. The town's amazing. They are so friendly. They are very welcoming. I know the mayor very well. She's a sweetheart. She was, you know, even before I decided to open it and purchase it, I called the city hall to make sure it wasn't going to be a problem. And they were super excited to have me come in. So yeah, just a lot of just great town. It's wonderful.
Well, and so often these buildings, they have sat there empty for a long time. There's not that many people living in the town. They will eventually just be torn down
Right, and they
or
have,
just fall apart.
yeah, they have actually torn a few. There was actually like a really cool, now it's just a parking lot, but across from me, it used to be like a really old building. I can't remember what it was. They told me once, but yeah, so they're just losing a lot of the town history because nobody's doing anything and they're falling apart. So, you know, she needs some work, and that's, you know, getting people in for the investigations will help us get some things improved. You know, right now we're pretty rustic. We don't have any heat or water, electricity, anything like that. So these are things that as we go along, we're gonna get them fixed. We're gonna get them upgraded and get stuff rolling. So
now, when you go, do you have to find a hotel, or are you able to even stay in the building?
Well, my husband and I just talked about with the advancements of camping gear these years, you don't need power.
That's so, true, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have, you know, when we go, we sleep there, you know, we've got power boxes that, you know, those little portable ones, they blow up our air mattress. And some people have cots that they just bring and flop down. You know, so we don't really necessarily need power. I do provide an outhouse for everyone until we get the water working here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like camping.
Now, is your husband really into the paranormal stuff as well?
Absolutely not.
I couldn't tell. It was either going to be absolutely or absolutely not.
So, I mean, he loves seeing what I do in capture. He has filled in as a investigator with me. Let's say he just tries. And so yeah, he's there very much to support me. I love him to death. He just always says he's the caretaker. So
I love that he indulges you in this. I just think that's really something. That's a really good husband.
Yeah, he's really good. But you know, the sad thing for me is, okay, so I've been doing this for a bazillion years, have never in my life seen an apparition, ever. You know, that's everybody's dream. Shadows, yes, never full blown. He's at the Boyd house for the second time visiting, and he looks up at the top of the stairs, and there is a woman standing there in a white dress and brown hair looking down at him. And he just thought it was me for a second. He looked away and he looked back and she was gone. And then, of course, I come around from the main floor.
Oh, wow.
I was so jealous.
And so would he consider himself skeptic or believer, especially after something like that?
He was kind of skeptical when we first met and started dating. I didn't tell him I was a ghost person right away because some people think that's weird. And so, yeah, he accepted right away, but he had a lot of questions. But then the more of the stuff and evidence that I showed him and things I've experienced, he's definitely convinced there is another side. So
now, with the Masonic Lodge, obviously, it's called Masonic Lodge, and that's part of the Freemasons. You know, and that's kind of a secretive society. And you don't always really know what happens with them because they really just can't go around and telling you either.
So right. I am
a little suspicious of the Freemasons, but I don't know why I am.
Right. I mean, I know they do a lot of different rituals. You know, it's funny because, you know, I've had one Mason stop out and talk to me and he's like, oh, we're just a bunch of silly old men who like to do some old ceremonies. But then I'll get another one start telling me stuff and they're like, oh no, I've said too much now. So it's like
that's what I find so strange,
you know. So I don't know, but we actually did have one of the master masons of the lodge come by right after we bought it, which was so phenomenal. Come see him, you know, he's in his 80s. And he took us on a tour around the building and told me what each room was used for. So that was really neat to hear that kind of information. But the first things that came out of his mouth after he told me his name and he was a master mason, he said, have you seen her?
Oh.
And I said, who? He goes, the woman. She's upstairs. She roams the halls. I've seen her many times when I'm here alone. And I'm like, oh, no, haven't, but yeah, tell me more about her, you know, so.
That's interesting.
That nice to get a little bit of confirmation. I've had several people in town come forward with, you know, different encounters or different stories, but they all seem to know about this lady that roams the hall. I have yet to see her, but apparently she's the talk of the town, so.
You know, it's one thing when you see the pictures of the building and which you would have done before you went, and then, you know, you had to drive quite a ways to get there to look at it. Did you just kind of feel, are you able to pick up on it yourself and go, there's something here?
Yeah, usually, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily, I can't talk to someone, but I get the feels like something's around. And I did feel that there definitely was something different about the lodge. You know, I didn't necessarily get anybody was around me, but I, like I said, I did pick up three EVPs and there was nobody there and they were real quiet whisper ones. So it's like, I knew it wasn't anything from outside at all. And it was just a really cool, I felt like I belong there, and that this was something I should do it, you know. So I just it was just, you know, reassuring. So I just that's we took the plunge, and my husband said, "Well, if it's not haunted, I guess we'll just sell it." So that's what he said.
You know, I wonder, like with the Freemasons, and you mentioned rituals, and in my brain, anytime I hear ritual, it just seems dark and weird to me. You know, maybe their ritual was sitting, maybe for all we know, it's sitting around drinking beer and shooting the shit. I don't know. But do you think that's something too with what they do that could stir things up or could have stirred things up? Or maybe it's been haunted since it was a hotel.
Oh, I'm sure there was. Well, definitely was, because if the Masons were already seeing ghosts in there,
True.
I know I've got something, you know, saying that they were from the hotel time.
Okay.
So I think we have a combination of both Masonic spirits, because we've gotten those come through to say they were Masons, and some that say from the hotel. So I think we have a blended community here in our building. But yeah, it's just I know with the rituals and stuff. You know, they actually shared this lodge with the female ones. So it was a combination lodge. So they had women on one side, he told me, where they would get ready to come into the main master lodge for theirs, and then on the other side, the men would get ready on that side, and that's when they would come in for their ceremonies. Now, they would never do the ceremonies together. So but sometimes they would come together because the women would cook and they would, you know, provide food for the men. But as far as doing their meetings and such, that was kept completely separate.
It just seems like it would just kind of create an atmosphere where spirits would come out. You know, just hearing the word ritual, you just think of that. But
Well,
like I said, I have no idea what they are, the rituals.
we did tend to get a lot of stuff when we, you know, did things, you know, with them, like we brought an American flag and a Mason flag, and we played, you know, one of their songs for raising a flag that Masons have. We just looked up online. We played that. Then we started getting a lot of equipment interaction.
Oh, interesting.
So I think they really like that. We do have a lot of things that people gave to me when I opened the lodge that were like books that they had that had the rites and the rituals in there. So yeah, I haven't had a chance to do a lot of reading, but I will tell you, one morning by myself at the lodge, I had taken out one of the books, and I had one of those trip wires, and that you know, can detect the EMF, electrical magnetic fields. And we don't have any power in our building, so we shouldn't have anything tripping any of these equipment, but we do quite often. But I had it laying across the floor, like, you know, coming at me. And I was the only one in the building, and I was reading one of the prayers out of the book. And it sounded normal at first, like an Our Father, if anyone's Catholic, but, you know, it's kind of started out like that type of prayer. But then it turned and it became really weird. It didn't say anything like Satan or demons or anything like that. It was just not, as me being raised Catholic, not what I would have said. So it was kind of weird. But when I was doing it, all of a sudden the trip wire, one by one, there's probably, I think, like 15 light bulbs maybe on it, started lighting up in order coming at me. And I could feel the energy coming at me, almost electrical. And then it like hit my foot like a shock, like if I touched an electric
Oh.
fence, and I had to pull my foot up off the floor. And that was just like the weirdest thing I had ever experienced ever in my life. It was just bizarre. And I don't know if it's because I reading this morning prayer, or maybe they just didn't want me reading it because
Well,
I'm
yeah, because you're
not.
a woman and you're not a Freemason, so you shouldn't know what the prayer is.
Right. But like I said, they did share it, and I am totally drawing a blank on them what the female Mason people are, so I apologize to anyone. It's a Monday, so
But I would imagine the men have their set of things, women have their set, and you don't know what the other one is necessarily, maybe.
right. But yeah, they did share their stuff, so or they did share that building, so I do know that. So
But I do think if you were a Freemason, and you would be very connected to the group, which would make you very connected to the building.
Yeah, so I think we have actually had several people come investigating who are Masons, and they seem to have a pretty active night. I mean, that's a pretty active building anyway. And, you know, I think the spirits are also learning how to use equipment, learning how to speak to people, because I'm pretty sure since 1861, we're probably the first people who ever tried to actually talk to you. So, I mean, they got to figure out a lot of things.
What do you think about a location like that when it's brand new? Because I've talked to so many people who that's their favorite thing is to investigate a newer location. What is it about a newer location that is exciting?
I think it's like you say, it's just the unknown. There's not a lot known about the places. So, I mean, you could go to like take Villisca X Murder House. Everybody knows the history on that. Everybody knows the name of the victims. Everybody knows who we think did it. So everybody's coming in with the same questions over and over and over again. I mean, they do it anyway, but I think if I was a ghost, I mean, now you're fixating on what happened all the time. Here, nobody really knows who is here. Nobody really knows who's going on. So we're all kind of learning together.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the big thing. And so you're not always going in with calling like, hey, Bob, where are you? Bob, you know, where's Bob? You know, so now you're just like, who are you? Let me learn about you. And then maybe if you can get some validation that that person was once alive, where you could prove, I mean, obviously they were, but to prove who they were, that would be a really cool thing to say, oh, it was, you know, so-and-so, she was the maid, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because with the Villisca X murder house, you would go into it with information in your head. There's no way you're going to go there and not have some preconceived ideas about what you're going to encounter.
Correct.
So yep. Sometimes do you think that could kind of skew what you find because you're already kind of leaning towards you're going to get this?
And so, I think a lot of people do because, you know, I feel like when a lot of times you go on tours, sometimes they'll say, oh, everybody sees shadow figures down here. Or so does it put in your mind that, well, I'm probably going to see a shadow figure. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to just sit there and hope you see a shadow figure. And then you might think you saw a shadow figure because everybody else saw a shadow figure.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to say. And then, you know, and maybe everybody does. Who knows? Yeah. You know, but we don't know. Did it really happen or was it in your mind? It's hard to say. But I kind of feel like a lot of places I like to go, I like to know a little bit of stuff, mainly because I like to know where to set up my equipment, where's the best place to go. But I don't necessarily want to dive into a lot of who's who. Like, I might want to get a name of somebody, but I don't want to get too much information about them.
Now, when did you say you opened up the Masonic Lodge for investigations?
May of 2024. Okay. So just this year. So this is the first year we've had people in.
What kind of findings are people getting? What are some of the stories that you've heard from them?
Well, a lot of them get a ton of equipment interactions. We get a lot of that. People are just starting to put their stuff out now. A lot of footsteps and just a lot of EVPs. People have been touched. I know a couple people I've actually seen. They've said just they saw an apparition. They didn't tell me anything about it. So these are just kind of things that I've been hearing about that people have captured.
Are you kind of keeping track of what their findings are in any way to see if you can find any similarities or any names of, say, women who are roaming the halls upstairs?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody comes out with a name or something, I'll just kind of jot it down or see if, you know, maybe I've gotten that name. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's two people that's gotten the name Bob, you know. So it's like, you know, so then you can kind of build on that because then you're like, okay, so let's focus. Next time we go, let's try to actually sync up with Bob and see if we can learn about him, you know, that kind of stuff.
But how hard is it to manage a location when you're so far away? Do you have someone there in Keithsburg helping you run it, or do you have to go back and forth, or is this kind of like a haunted Airbnb where you've got the code on the door that changes?
Yeah, with the lodge being, it's not doesn't need like a ton of upkeep as far as where like the Boyd House is a fully functioning and furnished home. The lodge, we're keeping it as a lodge, so basically. We have in the dining area, we have three long tables, tons of chairs. So we kind of feel like a lot of people make that like a base camp room. But other than that, there's just chairs throughout the building for you to sit on. So there's really not as far as a lot of cleaning, things like that, upkeep. You know, I try to get there as often as I can to make sure things are good. But again, it is a lockbox system that I do, and I just rely on everybody to take their garbage out to the dumpster in the back. And, you know, I would say everybody does that. You know, they're very respectful. It's nice to see in the paranormal community, you know, that everybody is respectful. Of course, you're always going to have a bad apple in the bunch, but I've never had anybody be like, nah, I'm not taking out the trash. I'm not sweet. You know, I mean, I've even at Boyd, I've had like, usually girls, of course, but they're like, hey, we vacuumed and swept for you, you know, things like that.
It's like, you come back anytime.
That's right. So yeah, I mean, it's really nice that people do respect the building and they take real good care of it when they're there. So, and we do have a neighbor that does keep an eye out too, you know, so they can call us at any time. And actually the town watches out. Gosh, the neighbor called me to tell me that one of our window frames blew off in a storm and what she want me to do about it. So it's like,
that's fantastic.
Know. Yeah.
Those are the kind of neighbors you want.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're, you know, like I said, great, great town.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Jill Shelley about the haunted 1861 Masonic Lodge. For more information on the lodge, go to haunted1861masonic.com. And for more information on the Boyd House, visit boydhouse217.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.